This podcast is sponsored by PICC, Florida's leading public adjusters for 22 years of handling residential commercial claims in Florida. Dealing with an insurance company when having a property loss can be discouraging. Let PICC encourage you and maximize your compensation. Please call us at 305-956-3666.
Good morning. Today's class is Leunishma Yerachmel Diana Begadaya Sion Benema, Ful Shalem Rav Shalom Yamina, Daniel Ben Sara, and also Ful Shalem of Reina Bat Bahia. Also, today's class is in the success of all Kol Yisrael, and also in the Refuah Shleima Meir Tuvia Ben Chaya. All right, today, please share and rate the podcast. All right, today, the menu of the day is Hod Shebetiferet, which represents the honest truth, being connecting to the humble and honest truth. And that's what today's class is going to be about. We're going to talk about pretty much a few things on how to really, really transform our problems into our solutions. Lesson 168, Rabbi Nachman says it in a paragraph, something extremely, extremely clear. And he says, when a person grows hardy, which means when a person grows arrogant, it is an indication that he will experience misfortune, God forbid. As is written in Proverbs, before destruction, pride. Similarly, when he's humble, it is an indication that he will experience great honor, as is written, and before honor, humility. Sounds pretty simple, no? So if God's telling us that when we get arrogant, it's pretty much inviting a fall, and when you begin humility, you're pretty much inviting a victory. So we have to go from the chronic worrier to the humble warrior here. The chronic worrier to the humble warrior. That's pretty much, the actual Torah is no more than a paragraph. So let's talk about, if that's what it says, and that's ultimately what we need to work on. What is just on a practicality level, what is being hardy? Always saying, why? Why? I can't believe why I'm going through this. Why? 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 What is being humble? What do I need to do to change? What do I need to change versus why am I going through this? Arrogance is why, humility is what? Why keeps you into the problem? What gets you out of the problem? What gets you into action? We know the spiritual name of this concept of deliverance of what is actually Ma, is actually the name Ma. According to the Kabbalah, the holy name that God uses to bring a rectification is the name Ma. What? This is derived from God's four-letter word, which represents 45. We spoke about that a few times. Sometimes a person who's in deep despair, having tried every possible option, he acknowledges his inability to save himself, totally surrenders himself to God, he lifts his eyes to heaven, draws upon himself a new light, which is the holy name Ma, which is the holy name What? He comes to realize, what am I? What am I? When he does this, an amazing thing happens. The trouble, the tzara, which means the trouble, becomes the zohar, becomes the light. So there's your solution. The problem becomes the solution. The minute you go into serenity, into humility, into surrender, the problem becomes the solution. So surrendering shifts the problem into the solution, into the light. For just like a birth of a fledgling, an egg must be completely broken before new life can emerge. So there's a beauty in brokenness, right? How many confusions, how many mistakes, and how much times are we tearing down before? Think about how many times, I remember, going to Aqualina. Aqualina is one of the most exclusive resorts you have in Sunny Isles. Exclusive. I mean, and the first building, it was sinking. And I remember the chaos. They thought the building sunk four or five feet, and everybody was canceling on their deposits. Today, Aqualina is probably the most exclusive resort in Florida on the ocean. But what he went through, the guy, from a sinking building to 4-5 ocean, probably the most. So this is what God does. He humbles you. He humbles you before he elevates you. So this is where you have to recognize when you want to, when you, the, 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 pursue, when a person pursues hardiness, God forbid, it's you're beginning to ask yourself, and it's the beginning of the fall. This is why we always have to constantly ask ourselves, are we being humble or are we being arrogant? Or our questions. When we get into solutions, we're being humble. When we're getting into questioning God, we're being actually very, very arrogant. And that's the beginning, God forbid, of a fall. Another simple thing, what's the difference between pride and humility? When a person has pride, he focuses on others' failures. Right? He's always focusing on others' failures. When a person has humility, he focuses on how much he needs to grow. See the difference? You're in a relationship, you focus on this person's doing that for me, that person's doing it, versus how much you need to grow. When a person has pride, he's his self-righteousness, he's overly critical, he finds fault in everything. When a person's humble, he understands and he looks for the best in others. When a person has pride, this is a classic, by the way, he looks at their life through a telescope, he looks at their life through a telescope, he looks at his life through a telescope. But he looks at himself and others through a microscope, right? This is the projection, right? He himself doesn't see the microscope, but he looks at everybody, he looks at everybody's fault, but he himself is very broad. When a person has pride, he looks down at others who are not as spiritual, as committed as him. When a person has pride, he thinks everybody is a privilege, it's an honor for everybody for him to be around everybody. Again, self-centeredness. The pride is self-centeredness. Anytime you get pride, it's self-centeredness. It's the beginning of a fall. Because why? There's no end to it. There's no end to the ego. The ego always wants more and more. What's the difference? Humility. Humility is different. Humility, a person who's humble, he realizes how much he has to go. He realized that if he falls, it's just part of the process. He looks at the best in others. Listen to this line, which I think is great. When you're humble, you seek to win people, not arguments. That's a very strong line. That's Shalom Bayit 101. You win the person, not the argument. Like we said many times, we can't be happy and be right at the same time. So you choose we can't be in love and be in right. So you have to recognize, are we winning people or are we winning arguments? Arrogance is about the victory. That's where Reb Nachman says a person who always has a desire to win, he can never stand the truth. Because when the truth is, just going to deny it. When a person is humble, he leaves the judgment up to others. So this is extremely important that we understand. Now, anytime we are going through a problem in our life, or anytime we're going through a situation, we have to be extremely careful, because the whole process is to turn the problem into the solution. You have to extremely be careful that what you're missing is clarity. And you're missing really is the problem is concealed to you. It's not that the problem is not there, it's just concealed. And the purpose of a concealment is for us to look through God in the concealment and turn it just like what I just said. Basically to turn the problem into the solution. But the first step that doesn't allow us to do that, what Reb Nachman says is the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, the ego, is always focusing on dimyon, right? We know that, number one, your problems are not your life, and number two, look at your problems as is, not worse than it is. So sometimes the ego, which uses fear, ego and fear go hand in hand, what they automatically do is they project the problem 10 times worse. It's funny how I had maybe 5 phone calls yesterday, and every single situation, the problem was really the solution, but in the person's eyes, they looked at it 10 times worse than really what it was. I see it as an independent party. So we have to be extremely careful, especially if you're a very emotional person. You're normally going to look at the situation, because remember, what is fear-based? Fear-based is always protection. Fear-based is always, when you have fear, you're always going to think of the worst-case scenario. So all it is survival. All you're focusing on is on survival, which is a form of arrogance, because we have insecurities with our Creator. So right away, one of the best things you could do is when you have a situation in your life, very, very similar to the situation, the lesson we had yesterday, it's extremely important right away, before you have any problem, Rav Nachman says, right away you got to give charity. Because what we were trying to do is not stack more layers onto the problem. What we're trying to do is trying to diffuse the problem, not stack the problem. We don't want to stack the situation and create more dimyon. What we want to do is diffuse the problem, take the energy out of it. And two ways you could do that instantly. Number one is charity. Charity automatically clears the first layer of the problem, right? All openings need charity. Charity, you didn't have to give charity. Charity turns the problem, which is tzedek, which is justice, into tzedakah, which is mercy, righteousness. So you take the judgment and turn it into tzedakah. That's why the difference between tzedek and tzedakah is the hay. What is the hay? Charity. So right away, that's the first thing. Right away, give charity. Give some kind of charity. Because that itself is a form of sweetening judgment. All we're trying to do is sweeten the judgment so we ultimately see the problem becoming a solution. The second step is you need to go straight into what? Straight into gratitude. When you're thankful for the situation, then that gratitude itself also takes out another layer. Takes out another layer. All we're trying to do is you have layers and you're just trying to get rid of the layers. And the more you get rid of the layers, the more you're going to see practically that this actual thing was actually beneficial for you. But stacking the problem is what? Resisting, asking why? Why am I going through it? Not giving charity, being ungrateful and complaining. You could see two different directions. Ultimately, Rav Nachman's telling you, you're going to turn the problem into the light. But you have to completely go into nothingness. You have to really, really break yourself down. And that's exactly what he's saying here. When you're humble, you're going to get the great honor. Because humility is taking the layers out. Arrogance is adding on to the layers, adding on to the layers. We think about this practically. How do we handle this? This is why it's extremely important. Our sages tell us it's extremely important. Whenever you are going through something, that is not the time to be weak. That's the time really, really to strengthen yourself. Because you have a danger. You have a danger of adding things. Now, God forbid you add an addiction to this. God forbid you add, whatever you add, gambling addictions, or you're adding other problems, or you're, next thing you know, you end up in the wrong person, in the wrong house, in the wrong place. You're just stacking the situation. But ultimately, every situation itself can be turned into the light. Now, how do we know this? It's very simple. We know this because when God promised not to destroy the world, after Noah's flood, he promised never to destroy the world. So after every disaster or every chaos, there's a spring, there's a light right at the end of the tunnel. Whether or not you get there is whether or not you're humble enough to turn this into the light. It's that simple. And this is why we always have to go, again, we keep on talking about this concept that the minute you start with pride, the minute we start the pride, you're almost, it's almost, you're asking for a problem. You're almost asking for a problem. The minute you start getting too picky, which is arrogance. Not for me, you're asking for a problem. The minute you start getting too picky, you're basically asking to be single the rest of your life. Pretty much. Humble up means be open. Open to everything. Closed mind is the beginning of the fall. It's the beginning of the fall. Just look at anything in life where you saw people were closed minded, they weren't open minded, every single one of them fell. Rav Nachman tells us in Sefer Amidot, a person who empathizes with the suffering of the Jewish people, his prayer and prays for them, acquires humility. So one of the things a humble person is not just thinking about his own issue, he prays for others. He's always thinking about the bigger picture. So that's one thing you could do. If you want to pray for the Jewish people, it's one thing I do every day. I pray for people, that acquires humility. Because you're going in there, you're thinking, it's not only my issue in life. This person has this issue. It's a humble thing. So that person acquires humility. Faith leads to humility. Person has faith, what comes next? Humility. This is why it's extremely dangerous to get into any form of philosophy. It's extremely dangerous. Because when you start going into philosophy, he even banned reading one of the Rambam's book, The Guide to the Perplexed. It says you can't read that book. He was extremely against it. Because all of these questions will cause a division in your heart, and these divisions in your heart, and God forbid what people are learning in college, there's, again, the most successful class in Harvard was happiness. So if all of this, what is it getting you to? What's at the end of the tunnel? What are you doing this for? So faith leads to humbleness. When you have faith, humility will come because you know there's a bigger picture. A person's humility causes his prayers to be heard. It is as he offered various sacrifices. So when you have humility, again, not being self-centered. Hashem, what can I change? Creator of the world, what can I do? What's missing in this relationship? What can I bring to the table? You know, you go out on an interview, you know, tell me a little bit of, when you ask somebody on an interview, tell me a little bit about yourself. If you own the business, you really want him to say what? What value he can bring to the business? You couldn't care less what he does. You couldn't care less. What do you care if he, you know, climbed on an elephant in India? What do you care? You want him to talk about how can I bring value to your company? That's what a successful interview is. Is this focused person focused on the team? What can he value to the company? What can he bring to the table? That's a humble candidate. Not what do you care if he's cum laude and he went to this school? What can you bring to the table? That's really, what value can you bring? Tell me a little bit about yourself. What can you bring to the table? That's what you should always focus on. What can I bring to the table? How can I make the team better? That's humility. Not versus what am I getting? What am I getting out of this? What can I bring to the table? A person's humility causes his prayers to be heard. One's prestige and importance grows on account of his humility, not account of his validation. The validation causes the opposite. Remember, the desire blocks it. Humility leads to a long life. When a person is humble, his deeds are not scrutinized. It's extremely important. See, in heaven, you could live two ways. You could live the Tomer Devorah way, where you could mimic your Creator and give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Because you give everybody the benefit of the doubt, your deeds are not scrutinized. Yes, you're not the... You could eat more kosher. Yes, you could do this better. Yes, you could be more careful with your eyes. But if you're humble, you're not getting audited every minute. You're not getting audited every minute. There's a lot of letting go because you let go for others. But if you're a person who's extremely meticulous and religious and you want this one, but you scrutinize others, then you get scrutinized exactly that same way. So it's extremely important that you don't want to be that guy to be the guy wanting people to get justice. That should not be your business. Your business should be not enabling, but be the guy that, I don't know the whole picture. This is why it's extremely important our sages tell us, do not judge another person until you reached his place. So nobody knows exactly where that person's place is. You don't know his childhood, you know what he went through, you know what he's going through right now. That's what it means. You don't know where his place is. You don't know where he's at, you don't know what's going through. So that's for that reason. Humility doesn't allows you to see the bigger picture. You're not looking at the guy through a microscope. You're looking at the telescope. You're not looking at every small detail. The day you humble yourself is the day that strength, might, and exaltedness are added to the host on high. When you increase humility in the world, you can look forward to Mashiach. There you go. This is why we're waiting so long. A person's humility nullifies his fears of his enemies. That means you have humility, no enemy can affect you. But when we have arrogance, what happens? We get affected, we have fears. Remember, fear is not humility. Fear is ego. All you're doing when you have fear is trying to protect yourself from looking stupid or from failing or from what are people going to think. So that you see, it's a lack of humility. It's really arrogance. It's all self-centeredness. That's why fear is not, you have to eliminate it. Because it's all what am I going to look like on the outside? It's nothing to do with inner authenticity. And that's why you're not going to get, that's why you're not getting results in that area of your life. It's very simple. I don't have to be, look at your life and see what areas you're growing in. This is because there's humility. And the areas that are not succeeding is because there's a form of arrogance. And it's a tough thing to swallow. To say, okay, we need to humble up. We need to humble up. We need to change strategy. And that's where your acceptance at least gets you in the game. Without acceptance, you can't even get in the game. Acceptance at least gets you in the game. Again, acceptance is also a form of humility. Humility eliminates dispute and suffering. It does. Because at the end of the day, you don't have to argue. What do you have to argue? I only have to argue when I have to prove something. But humility, you don't have to argue. I respect your point of view. I don't have to argue. I don't have to be right. So that's where it helps. When a person's humble, everybody gets along with him. Because he sees, again, the big picture. Everybody gets along with him. And this is where these 24,000 students died, not because religion, they died because they didn't respect each other. We're not humble. So you can see Torah education does not always lead to humility if it doesn't match, if the Torah is not learned for the right reason. If it's not learned for action, if it's just learned for study, it does not lead to that. Chinese people learn Gemara doesn't mean it leads to character development. Chassidus leads to character development. This is all character development. Basically, your study, your actions should out. Your fear of heaven comes before wisdom. So the more wisdom, if you have fear of heaven, wisdom stays with you. A person who's humble is never afraid, even when he finds himself in the deepest place. Because again, he knows he's not. When you're humble, you know that all your job in life is to do is work in the situation, but the results are not up to you. And you can let go of that. So when you're in control, it's not. Control is not. Control is you're trying to control the outcome. I have to do my shishtadlut, I have to pray, I have to do whatever I have to, but I cannot predict the outcome. That is up to my creator. So that allows you to press go and yet at the same time let go. So we don't need to know how to press go, and then we need to know how to let go. If you press go and you don't let go, you're going to end up crashing. Your job is not to control the outcome of the events or what happens. It's not your job. And that is the big difference in life. Yes, we have to have the ambition. Yes, we have to continue trying, but the outcome is not up to us. That's a very strange thing for people to understand. It's a very strange thing for people to understand. A person who's not humble does not fear God. He fears other people. Humility causes a person to advance and keeps him from falling from his level. A person with a soft heart is able to humble himself. A person's humility causes God to remind him. God fulfills the desires of a humble person. Sometimes by lowering oneself or being humbled by others, a person is spared of a death sentence. Rav Nachman also says, you have to be very careful when you're going against somebody, that God always sides with the oppressed. Even if he's wrong. He always sides with the oppressed. Even if the guy's wrong, you don't want to be the oppressor. Because God always sides with the oppressed, even if you're right. Remember this. Because it's not your job to have justice. This is, we just learned that from the song Haggadah. Your job is not to get the justice. Again, it's up to heaven. You have to remember there's what lane you need to stay in. Sometimes we're in the wrong lane. So Rabbi Nachman says, when you start picking a fight on somebody because you want to get justice, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? God's going to give you a bigger problem that you're going to forget about that guy. And I always told people this. Let it go. Let it go. It's not your job to fight. But he did it, but he did it. Let it go. Let it go. Oh, you want to be tough? You want to be stubborn? No problem. All of a sudden, I said, hey, what happened to this guy? What do you mean? I don't have time for this guy. Look at the problem I'm dealing with. I've seen this thing 10 times. Rabbi Nachman says that. You don't want to be the guy persecuted. You don't, it's not your job. That is not your job. You have to believe that everything, again, this is a very high level, but why are you picking on any, again, yes, you have to, don't, it's not your job. Leave it up to your creator. Justice is not up to me, justice is up to my creator. Stay in your lane. Because what happens, that is going to be a trap for you. And then you're going to have a much bigger issue that you're going to make him forget about that issue. So let's, I mean, it seems to hear that all we should really pray for here is humility at the end of the day. All we should really pray for is humility at the end of the day. That's what we have to get to. We have to really question ourselves and have humility. And humility means not being self-centered. That's really the real, real thing. How am I self-centered versus godly-centered? That's the difference between really rising in life and falling in life. It's in one paragraph. All it is. So may Hashem help us. That we should go from humble worriers, not chronic worriers. Have a great day. Exactly.